All right. So this episode, we're going to talk about AirVenture because it's like 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, not even.
Is it? Wow. 10 days. You keep talking, you're going to waste one of them.
Go ahead and take the speed up. Your number one now, runway 27, clear to land, green dot. Welcome, Nosh, guys.
Hello and welcome back to the Green Dot, EAA's podcast for anyone and everyone who loves aviation. The Green Dot, sponsored by GE Aviation. I'm Hal Bryan. I'm senior editor for print and digital content and publications here at EAA. On my left,
I'm Chris Henry. I'm the EAA Museum Programs Coordinator.
And way over there across the table, it's...
I'm Tom Charpentier, Government Relations Director.
And a guest today. We have a good one. All of our guests are good. But this guy is somebody who... I want to say he enjoyed doing the show so much that he's come to work here full-time on site. This is Dennis Sandman Dunbar, Director of Flight Operations at EAA. And Dennis has been working with, or director of our AirVenture air show operations for how many years now?
Five and a half years.
But now you've joined us full-time.
Yep, we're packing up the family, bringing them up north.
From Florida to Oshkosh.
That's right. Looking forward to it.
So you're getting the same looks that I got when I said I'm moving from Seattle to a little town in Wisconsin. But, you know, we love it. We wouldn't look back.
It's funny, as the people have been congratulating me, it's always followed with, what were you thinking? Have you been to winter up here
yes,
yet?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and your place in Florida, we shouldn't harp on this, but it's amazing. You've got manatees and dolphins in your backyard, and now you'll have plastic deer in your backyard because that's required by law in the state of Wisconsin.
That's funny. Hopefully real deer. So we're actually looking to move out in the woods somewhere and enjoy the up north living, wholesome living up here, good people in Wisconsin.
All right, so we're here to do some kind of a podcast, if I remember correctly. And we're going to sort of run down what's going on at AirVenture this year. How do you want to do this, Dennis? You want to just talk about air show stuff sort of day by day and start it off with Monday and let us know what some of the highlights are and we'll go from there?
Sure, we can do that. So we've got, first of all, a really great week, a full week coming. I hope we can encourage folks to stay a little longer. If you're debating, I think when we go through this, you're going to see there's a lot of amazing things to do in the air or to watch in the air, but also just everything about this convention this year. I'm so proud of everybody, how they've come together, the Theater in the Woods programming, the flying theater stuff, the exhibits, everything is up this year. And I think folks are going to enjoy the trip here.
So. And you know what I have to point out, Dennis, is you and I have been friends for quite a while. And at least I think we're friends. Is that?
Yeah.
It's official now.
I'll associate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You'll allow it.
It's my honor.
You are honest, some might say to a fault. If this weren't a great year, you would not be here saying this.
Well,
you would find some other way to couch it.
So the challenge last year, everyone kept asking, how are you going to top this? I honestly didn't know how we were going to top last year because it was a pretty fantastic year. But we've got some, I think just the sheer variety and scope of things this year is going to have something for everybody where you're all going to leave going, seeing those only in Oshkosh moments, and really glad you came. And while I'd love to say it's all about the air show, we all know it's really about the people here. Come for the airplanes, you come back for the people, and it's going to be a great week all around.
Give us some things we're going to expect to see on Monday.
So Monday's going to be a pretty interesting Monday. We're going to have probably more aircraft already on the plaza and on static than you typically see on Monday. We like to keep the plaza kind of open for the concert, and as you know, we have Dustin Lynch in concert on Monday. So that's a big draw, but we also have quite a few airplanes that are going to be out there this year on the plaza already come Monday. So a lot of big aircraft arriving throughout the day. That's going to be fantastic. One of the things that I believe we're announcing today is the new Airbus A220-300, what was referred to as the C-Series. The new name for that is now the Airbus A220-300 is going to be here at Oshkosh on Monday at 10 a.m. They're going to allow tours of the aircraft. It's going to depart immediately after the air show at 6 p.m., so you'll get to see it come in, take off, and if you want, even take a tour of this brand-new aircraft. That'll be fun.
That's very cool. Now, is this a pre-production model? Is it going to be sort of one of those where the interior is instrumented, or is it going to have a regular airline interior?
My understanding is that the interior is kind of halfway configured.
Oh, cool.
So that could change. I'm not sure. They've been really busy with the aircraft, and my understanding is that the goal is to have it more like you're going to see it for if you were getting on board and the service aircraft, but I think there's still some instrumentation involved. But amazing cockpit. Anyhow, the air show itself, this is our Monday's Ford Day, big sponsor of ours, and we've got some really exciting things in the lineup, some firsts that we'll share on this podcast. One of which is after the national anthem this year, to open the show, you're going to see an act that's never been seen at an air show before. The Patriot Parachute Team and Bill Stein and Rob Holland have teamed up to create the Atom.
The Atom?
It's an aptly fitting name. The three parachutes are stacked, and Bill Stein will be doing loops around them, and Rob Holland will be doing circles around him, hence the Atom. When the Atom explodes, the three skydivers separate with two large ribbons between them. Bill Stein and Rob Holland will then come back, and between 500 and 700 feet above ground, they will do an opposing ribbon cut between these skydivers. We came up with this in the fall. They've been practicing it many times, and it's actually been... It was successful the first time. All the, they say, if you first you don't succeed, don't skydive.
Yeah, exactly.
But they've worked this down comfortably through lots of practice. We do a lot of firsts here, but it's not the first time we've just done it. So a lot of practice has gone on, and we're excited. So that's going to be the ribbon cut to officially open the air show this year, brought to you by Ford. It's going to be pretty neat.
So, Tom, what kind of molecule will it be?
It was funny. I was just going to say that.
I've met you before.
If I remember my high school physics correctly, an atom with two electrons, that would be oxygen.
Excellent. So bringing a breath of fresh air to the opening of the air show is a, 1 billionth size oxygen atom.
That's amazing. I had no idea. That's, I should have paid more attention.
Well,
so I went to Indiana
We all have
State.
Our roles, Dennis. We all have our roles. But you make sure to tip off the guys in the announcer stand.
Yes, Tom.
And then... all due respect to my buddy Tom, let's just triple check that that's the right element instead of being, ladies and gentlemen, argon.
Yeah.
Well, your favorite noble gas.
My mom is a high school science teacher. That's She's true. Hopefully listening to this podcast. So, Mom, please correct me if I'm wrong and give a call over to Dennis.
Oh, somebody please text his mom right now.
Yes. When are we getting her on the show, by the way, to talk about the Tom problem?
Yeah. That's going to be a two-parter.
So that'll be a lot of fun. Also, in this kind of Ford opening ceremony, you're going to expect to see Justin Lewis in the FLS Microjet. He'll be out there with Von Gittin Jr., who's a drifter. He drives this modified Ford Mustang and does the drifting.
So that describes his driving, not his lifestyle.
His car, I don't know much about drifting, but it's going to be pretty cool. But ultimately through this opening, there's a pretty, it leads up to a pretty awesome reveal of this year's auction car. So that'll be a little different this year. We're actually going to reveal the car during the air show. As opposed to on stage before the concert.
Gonna have to break back in here. Mom, I'll save you the call. I'm sorry, I was incorrect. It's helium.
So we can all talk funny.
So it's not a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It's a breath of helium.
It's a breath of helium. We can all use that from time to time.
Absolutely.
See, this is why I went into, public policy instead of science.
Hey, at least he fessed up.
Yeah, that's true. It takes a big man. I would have just gone onto Wikipedia and rewritten the periodic table to prove that I was right.
Yeah.
That would have been my approach.
That's how that happens.
Yes.
Also on Monday, we've got the Cree-Cree, Team Cree-Cree, coming all the way over from Europe. They're a big hit on the European air show circuit.
That's the world's smallest piloted twin-engine airplane.
It is, and it's going to take off from the roof rack of a Ford Explorer.
Because why not?
Wow. Exactly. So it'll be pretty neat to see that there. Then we have our Warbird arrival. Always a big hit. The big formations arriving at Oshkosh. That's going to go on Monday at 3 o'clock. We've got a great lineup of air show performers. Encourage you to go to the website and check that out to see all the wonderful acts that we have this year.
Is there one Warbird that's standing out for you that you're kind of looking forward to seeing?
Well, yeah. I mean, probably not supposed to have fear, but the XP-82. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen one of those fly.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to be here that have never seen it. Now, as we're recording this, the most recent report that I saw of its planned first flight was for today, July 11th. And if it flies today and all goes well, the owner and restorer is still confident they can get the time flown off to get it here. But it's going to be a photo finish.
It is.
We are fingers crossed that airplane can make it.
We actually have it scheduled to fly in the show on Monday. However, we have it's scheduled to fly in the show later in the week as well, several times. So if we need that buffer. But I tell you, Tom Riley, if anybody's seen his work, it's amazing. And I'm pretty confident it's going to come out of this just fine, and we'll be in good shape.
Well, so. He's been doing it for – I mean, he's one of the pioneers of of Warbird restoration.
Well, in the B-25s I flew around, he did that airplane. And, I mean, just the work, he does an amazing job.
He was doing it before it was cool.
Yes.
So he's a restoration hipster.
He is.
His beret and sunglasses.
Well, one thing I've been thinking about with the XP-82 is what must that airplane be like to roll? Because your cockpit is so far off the centerline axis.
I think even an aileron roll feels like a barrel roll at that point, because you're going around the outside.
I wonder
with the Yak 110.
Ask Jeff Bourbon. Because we don't know how the XP-82 rolls.
But we know how the Yak 110, is two Yak 55s stuck together.
Yep, with the jet engine slung between it, and that'll be on the show on Thursday. On Monday, we've also got Kyle Franklin. I know we got a lot of feedback from members, really enjoyed the Kit Fox S7 Speedster routine he did last year. So he's going to do that again on Monday. We've got a flight of RVs. One of the things, 10,000th RV built. So we're flying a flight of kind of a representative of all the different RV aircraft out there, just to kind of see the differences, because a lot of folks don't know the difference between a RV-12 and a 7 and an 8.
Well, Dennis, I do have access to an RV-6A and absolutely no free time on Tuesday.
Hey, all right.
So we'll see Tom at ICAST next December with a booth saying willing to do one or two passes, straight level passes at 500 feet in an RV-6A.
They'll be lining up.
Roger that. I promise you that.
There's also on Monday, just to round out a great day, we're going to fly a couple Tiger Cats and the class of 45, Jim Tobel and Scott Yoke. Jim Tobel in the Corsair, Scott Yoke in the B-51 Mustang, and it's a great act as well. Monday, a lot going on Monday evening. We mentioned the concert. There will be a flyover for the concert. The flyover, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not late. It's purposely late.
It's specifically choreographed.
Shock and awe.
Yes, well,
we're going for shock and awe. I'm going to hold off on even saying, because I want to leave a little excitement out there on what the flyover is going to be, but it's a two-parter.
Excellent.
And then some.
And then some. I wish the listeners could have seen your face as you carefully, judiciously weigh your comments.
At 8 o'clock, we have two other flight activities beginning. We have World War I flying going on at the in the vintage area there. They'll take off from the grass between Papa 4 and Papa 5, and they'll fly along runway 18 down there on the south side of the field. We're flying World War I aircraft from about 8 to 8:20, and Chris, if you want to chime in on the World War I stuff. Yeah, you did a big help in putting all that together.
I appreciate it. Actually, me and Kyle worked together on it, and Kyle's been really taking the point on who. But you're going to get to see some pretty cool World War One aircraft here. A couple private owners. Kermit Weeks is bringing, I think, four different airplanes here. Plans to fly one of them, but I'm not actually sure which one. EA's own standard aircraft will be flying. And we even have, I don't think it's going to be flying, but we have a DH-4 coming as well.
That's right. The DH-4 is not going to fly. It's almost there, but what a cool airplane. It really ties into, obviously, our World War One theme. Yeah.
100th anniversary, the end of the First World War.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, it was also the first aerial refueling tanker.
Yeah.
And being the year of the tanker, it's pretty neat to see that aircraft here as well.
It's amazing how many areas that DH-4 fits into. You
can yes.
Just, you can just Royal kind of keep Air pushing Force. It around the yep. field, you know.
Exactly.
So we also have the Twilight Flight Fest starting at 8 o'clock, and that's going to take place at the Fun Fly Zone, the ultralight strip down there at the south end as well. 8 o'clock, festivities get kicked off with the EAA Stoll Invitational. This is the Valdez-type competition flying that you'll see. We've got the Paradigm aerobatic team. They refer to themselves as butt fans, so when I say that, I'm not being disrespectful. But they're a lot of fun.
Those are paragliders.
Power paragliders.
They wear a fan on their backs, but I suppose if the fan is at your lower back, then. Yeah.
But they seem to enjoy calling themselves that. And then the Patriot Parachute Team, and we've brought back the 3DRC flying this year. That was a big hit last year with Jace and Colton. This year, Jace will be back. We're also bringing in another fixed-wing pilot, and some of you might have seen a couple weeks ago we put out a story about Ashley Heath, who's flying a 3DRC helicopter. And Jace and Ashley will actually do a two-ship together at the end of all that. That's going to be really neat to see. So we haven't added a lot to the flying program at the Twilight Flight Fest, but we have added some amenities down there, too. It was an overwhelming crowd last year. It was fantastic how it went out, and the buzz was great. We've got some food and beverage down there this year for folks. And, you know, we've upgraded the speaker system a little bit, and it's just going to be a real nice family-friendly way to get introduced to low-cost gateway past the aviation. So
it's also a really cool way to just kind of relax after a day of like walking around the show.
It is.
It's nice to just kind of go down there and hang out. It's really, really a laid-back environment.
That's right. And then also at around 8:15, 8:20 at Papa 2 there, just east of the Boeing Plaza, where we have 14 hot air balloons that are going to do a balloon glow this year. So it'll be the largest balloon glow we've had yet, numbers-wise. And so as the concert's winding down, the balloons will be cranking up.
Do they crank? Airing
up. They don't really crank up. No. Yeah. You know, that'll be a lot of fun. Folks, come check out the balloon glow. So that was just Monday. I'm going to have to pick up the pace if we're into this. Like I say, it's going to be an exciting week. On Tuesday we have multiple anniversaries we're celebrating on Tuesday. We've got it's our Innovations Day. We've got the Royal Air Force 100th anniversary and the 80th anniversary of the T-6. Tom, I think you wanted to talk a little bit about Innovations and Founders Innovations Press.
Yeah, I can drop in a plug for that right here. The Theater in the Woods presentation that evening will be the Founders Innovation Prize. We've had previous winners on the podcast before. And we've got another pretty good crop of finalists shaping up this year. We haven't quite narrowed it down. That should come out on Friday or early next week. As usual, there will be five finalists. It'll be kind of in a kind of a live competition. We liken it to kind of a Shark Tank style competition for innovative solutions to the loss of control problem in general aviation. So that'll be in Theater in the Woods, I believe. You're putting me on the spot here, but I believe it's at 8. Check your local listings.
A lot of fun stuff on Tuesday with the air show going on. We've got Sean Tucker and Oracle Challenger 3. We've got, for innovations, we've got the Workhorse Surefly Octocopter. This, I'm sure everybody's probably seen a picture of this thing. It's the big drone-looking thing with the person in it. It's going to be.
You work for their marketing department, don't you? You're writing slogans over here. It's a drone looking thing with the person in it.
Actually, it's been really fun to work with these folks. The company is, everyone I've spoke with so far, as we've been working through how to make this happen at AirVenture, has just been amazing to work with. They're really innovative folks there, and they're coming up with things not just in the aviation business, but throughout industry. That's pretty exciting. But that's going to be fun to see. It's really going to be it's going to lift off, and they're at the point in the test program where they're not able from the FAA to do a whole lot yet. They can do more than what they're going to be able to show. But it's going to be, I think, neat for the crowd to get an early chance to see. You know, I mean, I don't know, when I see this, I'm definitely not part of their marketing department, but I see like Jetsons kind of stuff, you know, like, you know, we're kids. Absolutely. I mean, it's neat, you know.
It's a big it's a big flying saucer. It's all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, so it's different. It's innovative, and that's what we're doing on Tuesday, innovation. So,
and will it be able to fly from the roof of your shack in the woods straight to Pioneer Airport here?
See, so that would be awesome, because I am having a hard time finding a spot with enough woods and a strip.
Right.
So maybe that's an option I need to pursue.
We're always thinking here on this show.
Yeah. I still need to get that helicopter rating. So, Philipp Steinbach and the Gamebird. That's just, people are still amazed. This airplane's just kind of a trendsetter in the world of aerobatics. So we're still calling that innovative, even though this is the third year we'll have flown that airplane at the show. We have a Honeywell 757 coming. This is their test aircraft, so it's actually going to have a third motor mounted on the fuselage, and when they take off, it's going to be an operation. You're going to see that. It's going to come back around and make a pass before it leaves. That'll be neat. Very cool.
Yeah, I saw that aircraft down in Phoenix at Honeywell's facility when I was there on a business trip last fall. What type of engine are they mounting on there?
I forget.
I thought they said they wanted to put a turboprop on there. So that
Is. Yeah, I just don't know the exact. I don't know the exact.
One it is. That's really
something. So a 757 with a propeller hanging out the side of the fuselage.
That's going to be cool to see.
That's pretty cool. We've got Jeff Bourbon in the Yak-110. I mean, pretty neat what he's done there, taking two Yak-55, and it's a lot more to it than sticking them together. There's been a lot of science involved in this, and then strapping a jet engine to the belly of it. It's going to be neat. Hearing this airplane is really remarkable, so I want you all to hear this airplane fly as well. Home-built review will be on Tuesday as well. It's a variety of some of our home-built aircraft on display. And then we have Kyle Fowler in the Long Easy doing aerobatics. So Kyle comes from a family of air show folks, and he's been flying air shows for a while now. And we're absolutely – he's a young man who has a great head on his shoulders, and we're excited to have him at AirVenture this year. Particularly, I think our members will appreciate what he's doing in a Long Easy. He's not out there tumbling the thing or doing any, you know, nonsensical maneuvers, but it's a nice barnstorming routine that you'll see out of this Long Easy, which we don't encourage at home. We had a big Warbird show on Tuesday. As I mentioned, we're celebrating the 80th anniversary of the T-6. So in this Warbird show, you're going to see a mix of some of the traditional teams, like the Aeroshell Aerobatic Team and their T-6s, Geico and their SNJs, the Canadian Harvards and their Harvards. They're going to be integrated into large formations of T-6s, and there's, in fact, going to be 28 T-6s that form a giant 8-0 in the sky as they come over, and along with some other things. It's going to be a nice commemoration of an airplane that really, when you think of all the impact that the T-6 has had, I mean, it's a pretty phenomenal aircraft. So the T-6s, a lot of them are going to be on Warbird Alley leading up to this, and then after they fly this part of the show, they're all going to recover back into the grass, because later on Tuesday, we're flying a Royal Air Force aircraft segment. And those aircraft, Monday and Tuesday, there's about 18 of them right now that are going to be on Boeing Plaza when we launch them to fly in the show on Tuesday, they're going to recover, most of them on Warbird Alley. Some will be going to different areas of the field as part of the Royal Air Force 100th anniversary portion of the show. And with that, I mean, we've got, you know, Spitfires and all the things you think of, but maybe you've seen the stories that we've put out so far about the Meteor coming, the only Meteor flying. Meteor, the Vampire, and the Venom, we're really lucky to have those. We've got Jet Provost, we've got Chipmunks, we've got you name it. There's going to be a lot of the Royal Air Force aircraft.
And that Meteor, the first Allied jet fighter, period, Allied jet fighter to enter service. And that's something that most of us, you know, even a lifetime of air shows in North America have likely never, ever seen. Even in the UK, it's unusual.
It's going to be fantastic. So as those aircraft are going out and we're kind of flushing the plaza, there's we're actually going to do something that we haven't done in many, many years. The Boeing plaza is making a huge transformation. We're actually going to have to sterilize the plaza for a while, the whole plaza. We're dumping all the Royal Air Force aircraft. The Honeywell aircraft had just come off. We're towing a B-1 out of there. I forgot to mention a wonderful wake-up call on Monday morning. It's going to be a B-1 at 7 a.m. Wake up, Camp Solar.
And that's for the people who there's two camps. Some people like the yodeling. Other people not so much. So we'll see if you like a B-1 better.
Yes, that's exactly right. So 7 a.m. on Monday morning, a B-1's going to be waking up everybody, and but on Tuesday we're going to pull that off the plaza to get ready to fly for Wednesday. And the reason we're having to dump the plaza then is because on Tuesday after the Royal Air Force, you're going to see a C-17, a KC-10, and a C-5 all come in together and make a turn onto the plaza there. And
so we have a C-17 and a C-5 on the plaza at the same time, and the KC-10.
Yes, we've got the KC-10 is actually dragging the C-5 all the way from Travis Air Force Base, California. The KC-10 pilot, the whole crew of the KC-10 is female. And the aircraft commander, she's from Indiana State where I ran flight school. And, you know, so I'm a little proud that we got a little ISU connection coming in here.
Show your colors, Dennis. Yep.
But Jessica Hodson's her name. Jessica is going to bring the KC-10 in, and then we're going to zip her down to Milwaukee, where Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. she's going to bring a UPS MD-11 in, which is going to be the photo aircraft for the Woman Venture Photo this year. The Air Force Reserve, you know, we're celebrating the 70th anniversary Air Force Reserve Command. They're obviously making a big play for Jessica here with the citizen airman thing.
Absolutely.
And it's just fantastic.
So she flies basically during the week. She flies the, figuratively speaking, the MD-11 for UPS. And then on weekends or one weekend a month and other deployments, she flies the KC-10 for the Air Force Reserve.
Well, that's kind of the old stereotype. But honestly, these days, these folks are flying. I mean, if I give Jessica a call and she's in undisclosed locations all over the world. So it's pretty neat in any given time. So the Guard and Reserve really are so much more of a important, vital role with integrated into the total force structure. It's pretty amazing, and that's part of the story we're trying to tell this year. It's pretty neat.
That's very cool.
On Tuesday, we also have World War I flying at 8 o'clock and another opportunity to see the Twilight Flight Fest at the Fun Fly Zone. All right.
All right. Well, that's Monday and Tuesday. It already sounds like a full week.
Wednesday is pretty fun. So Wednesday, our C-17 demo team arrives. So they'll be parked out on the dog leg, where they're going to be doing demos later in the week, all week. We have the opening of the show on Wednesday. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag on this one. All I'm going to tell you is you want to catch the national anthem on Wednesday, July 25th at 2:30. You need to be looking up.
You need to be looking up.
We have a surprise. It's going to be cool.
It's not going to be Tom in an RV6A motoring by at 500 feet and 100 knots.
I can think of a lot of more exciting things than that.
He'll be dragging a balloon of argon with him.
Yes, exactly. And his mom will be narrating.
Tom, no.
After this really awesome opening on Wednesday, it's skydiving day in Wham Adventure. So the Red Bull Air Force is going to, you're going to see the Red Bull Air Force helicopter take off. It's going to go up about 700 feet and drop a jumper, kind of a base jump.
Wow, 700 feet, geez.
So 700 feet, jumper comes out. Red Bull went through this whole process with the FAA. They have reserve systems and all this automatic stuff and blah, blah, blah. They're safe doing this. And then we've got wingsuits and we've got Kirby Chambliss in there. The helicopter is going to do a little bit of aerobatics as well. So the Red Bull aerobatic helicopter is back in Oshkosh.
Very cool. As the saying goes, some AirVenture stuff came up. So Chris had to duck out, and coming out from behind the soundboard and onto the mic is Ty. Ty, welcome to getting to talk on the Green Dot.
I'm honored. Yeah, I've only been in the background before. Briefly called up to the big leagues, and I'm excited. But let's get back to the real star of the show here and hear what Dennis has to say about Wednesday.
Well, on Wednesday, pick it back up here after Red Bull. We've got the Mass Formation Parachute Jump. This is 100-plus jumpers. They were here a couple of years ago, and we had a tremendous amount of positive feedback on that. So we're bringing them back. You're going to see 100 jumpers come out 18,000 feet, and they're going to form multiple formations on their way down. And then what's really amazing is when they break away, and then you can hear these folks when they break away, the wind coming off of them, and you can hear all the canopies pop, 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 pop open as 100 of these skydivers drift down to awesome two-point landings right there at in front of you. It's doing a show line spread the entire length of the crowd line. So it's going to be pretty neat. They're going to jump three times on Wednesday, twice during the day show and once during the night show before it's super dark. So that'll be cool. Wham Adventure, we have Vicky Benzing, Jesse Panzer, Teresa Stokes, Patty Wagstaff this year. And then we have Head Down Skydivers. And these folks are, they do a similar thing to what the 100 jumpers do, but they do it faster. They do very unique formations where they'll kind of almost like if you see like big groups of ice skaters and they kind of cross and do intricate kind of formations without hitting each other. It's what these folks do. And during the night show, they're going to do that in lit up kind of skeleton suits with pyrotechnics hanging off of them. It's going to be a pretty neat demonstration. I think folks will like, and it's what we've heard, and I can't prove this, is that this is the first time this kind of jumping's ever been done at an air show.
Wow. So it'll be like ice skaters, except they'll be on fire and falling at 120 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the ice skater thing is probably a bad analogy.
No, I think that's I'd pay to see that, and I don't have to. I get in free. So.
How you just made that sound a lot more exciting. Thank you. We're going to do the Atom again that we talked about on Wednesday with the Patriot parachute team.
What chemical compound are you emulating with that Atom? Figure.
What was that again? There,
that
Tom?
Was helium.
Helium. So we have to talk funny while that's going on. We'll be sure we provide the announcers with some woo-hoo! Helium. Ford's Drifter will be back out there to race Bill Stein and Rob Holland. So Von Gittin Jr. will be back out there in the Ford Drifting Mustang. Got a Warbird show on Wednesday. It'll be fantastic. And just a lot of other awesome aerobatic acts. We're going to finish the show, the day show on Wednesday with the KC-135, kicking off some of our Year of the Tanker stuff, and the U.S. Air Force Heritage Flight with an F-16 and P-51 Mustang. So the Wednesday day show is going to be pretty awesome, but the Wednesday night show can't be beat. That sounded kind of cocky, but it's going to be pretty fun. Y'all are going to like it. We're changing things up a bit this year, so hold on. Here we go. The night show is going to start with the flyover from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin Air National Guard KC-135. After its flyover, it's going to go directly up to 20,000 feet, flight level 200, and set up an aerial refueling track. Just remember that. We're going to get back to that in a second. Then we have the Patriot parachute team that's going to land a Ford canopy into the back of a moving Ford truck, which we're doing on Monday also, I failed to mention. So that's right. The Navy SEAL and Patriot parachute team going to be flying a Ford-branded canopy into the back of a moving Ford truck.
Wow. Of course.
And this is after earlier in the week after we've had an airplane take off from a Ford Explorer.
That's right.
Because why not?
Well,
because
why not? Yeah. All been practiced. The we have that mass formation parachute jump I alluded to earlier. And then we have the United States Air Force B-1B bomber, like last year, big crowd favorite. It's going to be flying in the just the pre-dark hours of the night show. And hopefully we'll get those same vapes we had last year as well. That was pretty great. So it's been a lot of fun working with Air Force Reserve Command as we've been putting this together. The B-1 community in general has been super supportive of Oshkosh. As you know, the B-1s were recently grounded, and they're back up. They've been approved for this, so this is all good to go.
Just for us.
Well, no, not just for us. But, you know, it is great that they take time for just us when you think about the real world and the importance of what they're doing out there. So
I think we're okay to say that AirVenture Oshkosh is number two after a strong national defense and other strategic priorities.
Well, I think right now, particularly when we start talking about stuff later in the week here, yeah, we might have like the world's fourth largest Air Force. So, but big shout out to Hojo and all the folks in the B-1 community to putting this together for us here. So, Red Bull Air Force is going to go up, Paradigm Aerobatic Team, Aeroshell, big night show crowd favorite, Bob Carlton. Those head down skydivers are now going to get to do the night jump. That's going to be really cool. The Gene Susie and the Firecat, the Patriot parachute team, and the Matt Yonkin in the Twin Beach. And then here's another surprise you might have seen. We just recently announced that we're going to have a 100 drone light show at Oshkosh this year. So a lot of work was involved in putting this together. We're working with the Great Lakes Drone Company on this, and they've done a fantastic job of working with the FAA to ensure, you know, we're kind of breaking ground here with this show at an air show, because they're, you know, we get a waiver for an air show, but that waiver is actually very restrictive in some of the things we do in their strict policies, you know, safety and setbacks and things, and integrating the drone world into the world of air shows has been a challenge. And so this is pretty great, and we hope we'll open up the world of drones to the rest of the industry now that we've been able to kind of pave the way here. The for the drone show, if you're out there on the crowd line, you're going to have to turn your head about 45 degrees to the left for where the drones are going to be set up for their show. And the reason being is twofold. One, if we put them immediately in front of the crowd, we would have had to have them out over that industrial park behind the airport, because if they're too close, you can't actually tell what the drones are doing. So to get the proper distance we needed, we had to turn them and stay over our property that we control, a safe sterile area. We had to put the drones out there kind of by the approach into 3-1. So it'll still look great. You just kind of got to turn your head a little bit, and they'll be centered up to you, the angle, and it's going to be pretty neat to see. So we're pretty excited about getting to unleash a new element for the night show this year in that 100 drone light show. So we've got Red Line air shows this year, and we're doing a little something different with the fireworks this year. And I'll just leave it at that. Red Line's going to flow nicely into the fireworks show. And then the fireworks show itself, the finale is going to be a little different on Wednesday than what we've seen in the past. And I would be doing an injustice if I warned you of what was about to happen, because I think part of the surprise is going to you're going to be bummed if I spoil the surprise. I want you all to have that moment. So it's going to be pretty neat. Wednesday night fireworks show. Definitely stay all the way to the end. It'll be fun. And you know what you're thinking, Hal?
I'm thinking all kinds of things.
You
Dennis.
Told me to remember the tanker.
Yes.
And I forgot to go back to the tanker. Remember earlier in the show, we sent a tanker up to 20,000 feet. Right. When the B1 is done, the B1's going to actually get cleared direct up to see the tanker. And the tanker and the B1 are going to refuel over Oshkosh at 20,000 feet. And you'll be able to see that.
So not just a simulated refueling like we see passes.
This will be a real refueling. Yep.
Real thing.
So the
that's not something you see at air shows that often.
No, it's not.
I've ever seen it.
No, it's pretty neat. So
that's pretty cool.
Kind of a neat moment. So
one of the only times I want to see passing gas.
Oh, man.
That's good. That's good, Ty. All right. So the Thursday, Thursday we'll try and get through here a little quicker. We're going to start off the show with a tribute to Stu McCurdy and the Falcon Flight with the RVs. Okay. We've got a great lineup of the civilian airshow performers. Jim Pites is just, flying the aerobatic bonanza, but a whole bunch of wonderful performers out there. David Martin in the Beach Baron. So this is a Baron that does aerobatics as well. So you're going to see Jim Pites in the Bonanza and David Martin in the Baron. That's going to be pretty cool.
Two airplanes you just do not associate with any kind of aerobatic routine whatsoever.
Yeah, that's right.
Not until Thursday.
Not until Thursday. That's like seeing a Toyota Camry and a Buick station wagon on the track at Indy and winning.
That would be a shame.
I could have picked a different track. Dennis, sorry.
We have the Honor Flight arrival just for their departure on Friday. We've got kind of ending out the show on Thursday. We're going to get the Royal Air Force aircraft back involved. Chronologically, we're going to go oldest to youngest. That's going to transition into the jet, so it's another chance to see the Meteor, the Vampire, and the Venom fly. We got our Jet Warbird show. There's lots of F-86s, T-33s, all we've come to expect at Oshkosh this year, followed by the F-16 and then the C-17 demo. And then we have a two-ship F-35s that are going to beat up the pattern a bit before they land. They're coming in from Luke Air Force Base in Arizona. So
that's very cool. We've had an F-35 here once, maybe twice, but I don't know we've ever had more than one flying at a time.
Well, these are just a two-ship arriving for static, but sure. They're going to burn down some gas before they can land. We had the Heritage Flight F-35 last year.
That's right.
Yep, and that was fantastic as well. So on Thursday, we pick it up again with the World War One and the Twilight Flight Fest in the evenings there at 8 o'clock. So every night this year, there's like last year, there's something aviation for you to do. Friday is our Salute to Veterans Day, and it's also our World War One anniversary day. The air show on Friday will get started with the KC-135 Dragon 2 F-22 Raptors from Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida. The KC-135, again, is out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so we got to thank our hometown heroes there. The F-22s are going to beat up the pattern a bit before they land, and the 135 will come back around and make some passes. And then we're going to see something that air show fanatics will probably appreciate. We're going to see the Aeroshell aerobatic team followed by the Geico Skytypers and the Canadian Harvards, then followed by the Trojan Thunder. So we got four of the premier Warbird demonstration teams back to back to back to back.
Wow, and all North American products too.
As part of our
family, the T-28s.
Exactly. There's nothing getting by, Hal, exactly. As part of our
it's all getting
80th
by me,
anniversary.
Yeah, we should get them all together for a super group aerobatic display or something.
Well, we kind of are on Tuesday when they're incorporated into the T6 tribute, but now we've added the Trojan Thunder team to this.
Amazing.
From there we go into a Warbird show where we're expecting the CXP-82 and the Tiger Cats and the Jets. And, you know, it's going to be a really great Warbird lineup this year. Warbirds has a ton of airplanes coming this year. Fantastic.
We're expecting Doc back this year.
Doc is going to fly on, I believe, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday.
Are we getting another two ship with Fifi?
No, Fifi's not coming this year.
Fifi's not coming. Fifi's otherwise occupied.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've had Fifi many years straight, so I understand, doing a little different tour this year. So, we've got Patty in the Red Bull Air Force, Justin Lewis, Skip Stewart, who's always an entertaining performer to watch, Gene Susie, and then the C-17 demo team, followed by the Air Force Heritage Flight. And then probably my favorite moment, well, there's a lot of awesome moments, but the one that really grabs your heart is the Honor Flight arrival.
Absolutely.
And when, they get back and the airplane comes through the water cannon salute, and then the veterans all get that parade, everyone cheering them, getting that welcome home that they didn't get then. The ceremony itself is going to take place off the cargo deck of the C-5 that's going to be nosed up celebration there on Boeing Plaza. So we're really, always, again, one of the favorite things. Friday night, we've got World War I flying. This will be the last opportunity to get to see the World War I aircraft and the Twilight Flight Fest. Saturday.
Oh, boy. I see the way you say that.
Here we go. Saturday is a beautiful mess.
That's how I usually introduce you to my friends.
Saturday, we have some of the greatest performers in the world in the traditional times of the air show. Just an all-star lineup of our normal civilian air show performers. But we get pretty, after a wonderful hour-long Warbird show on Saturday, we really have probably the most military jets over Oshkosh in any given hour and a half than we've had before.
And they'll all be friendlies, correct?
They'll all be friendlies.
Okay, so they're on our side.
It was at one point working with the Air Force, POC I'm working with, Hercules is a great guy, and I was like, you know what, buddy? We have everything that's cool or even kind of cool in the Air Force except the B-2. And he's like, well, we got to work on that. We don't have the B-2 yet, but it's easier to say what we don't have than what we have coming. So just a glimpse into what we're looking at right now.
So everything but the B-2 and maybe a B-2 if we get lucky.
If we get lucky. And
thanks to a man named Hercules, which is going to be... He's got to be just thanking his lucky stars every morning that that's his call sign, and not barf bag or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure it's probably an acronym.
Yeah.
We don't want this show to lose its G rating.
No, we sure don't.
But anyhow, we're actually going to start this with the Year of the Tanker stuff, and I know I just talked all about the military, but we're going to kick it off with the NASA S-3 Viking. The S-3, known for anti-submarine warfare, but was really the jack of all trades, including in-flight refueling, and was a force multiplier on the carrier battle group with the in-flight refueling capabilities it provided. So the S-3 is going to fly out there, and this will likely be the last time that you see an S-3 at an air show, because after this year, this last flying S-3, NASA will be retiring. So, So we're excited to get that here. After that, we're also – so after Jim Tobel and Scott Yoke land, we're going to be launching from here two F-22s, an HC-130N, two HH-60Gs, three or four F-18s, and an S-3. But what they're going to meet airborne coming from other bases is a cacophony of aircraft.
Somebody bought a thesaurus.
almost used that word correctly. Really close to nailing how that word is used.
I don't even know what it means, but it sounded good.
It's a variety of harsh sounds.
Right. It's a loud, chaotic noise.
It is. It is. It's a cacophony.
Sure.
Yeah, look. So
a veritable cacophony.
This is the... I'm just a kid from Indiana, went to public school. So we the F-18s will be coming through with the ARS pod with the hoses out. And part of the year, the tanker thing, there's going to have an F-18F Super Hornet, Dragon, an E-18 Growler, and there will probably be some other either Growlers or Rhinos in that formation as well. So that'll be nice. Then we're going to have a KC-135 from Grissom Air Force Base, flown by one of my old flight instructors, Billy Worth. He's kind of taking the lead on rounding up these guys and getting their hold points and all that stuff established and all out there. But coming out of Grissom Air Force Base will be the KC-135 Dragon, a B-1B out of Dyess Air Force Base, Texas. They're going to be coming through making a pass. Followed by a McGuire Air Force Base KC-10 that's dragging the two F-22s that we launched out of here. Followed by the HC-130N from Patrick Air Force Base, the 920th Rescue Wing down in Florida, that we launch out of here with two HH-60Gs from the 920th out of Patrick Air Force Base. They're all going to come through in this parade of tankers dragging other aircraft. The F-22s are going to break off. They're going to come back around, beat up the pattern a bit. The B-1 will have broken off. When the F-22s are recovering, B-1's going to be coming in, and it's going to do a three-pass profile. And then the tankers come back around, the KC-135, KC-10. They're going to beat up the place a little bit. And then we have the HC-130N, the two HH-60Gs. They're going to do a SAR demo, search and rescue. And we're supposed to have some A-10s in here for CSAR. And I want to tell this story because it's pretty cool. We originally had it worked out. If you remember the A-10 cast demo from last year with the guys from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Close Air Support. The Black Snakes from Fort Wayne, Indiana did a great demo for us last year. They were all set to come back this year to do a CSAR with the 920th. But they are currently overseas, actually engaged, and they got their tour extended. But rather than just canceling on us, they called the guys from Michigan. And the folks from Michigan have been trying to pull this off, where although they have a big ORA going on, they were working to support this show as well. Unfortunately, they just got shut down for not being able to do it as well because of the conflicts with the inspection. So we're now working on another group of A-10s to come in and turn what the SAR demo will be into a combat search and rescue with pyrotechnics and all of that, if we get the A-10s or not. But I just want to mention that because I thought it was really cool that the Fort Wayne guys are out there keeping us safe. And when their tour got extended, they were classy enough to reach out to another unit to support us here at Oshkosh and not just say, hey, sorry, we can't make it.
So when we would have been pretty understanding that you've got to go deploy and go work for a living, of course, that's your priority. But for them to say, you know, try to help us fill that gap.
So, yeah.
You know, one thing I didn't hear you mention, Dennis, in all the tanker stuff. Now, at some point, Tom, are you going to land the RV-6 and then Ty will drive the EA fuel truck out to show center?
We're going to race, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then the Tom will land and then fuel up the RV-6?
Yeah.
That's going to be spectacular.
Ground refueling.
We're not ready for that yet.
That's the finale.
I was going to say we could do a reenactment of the the world record 172 flight.
Or the 55 days whatever that was where they refueled it from the ground. But anyway, Dennis, there's more to say.
Yeah, can I proceed with the rest?
Would you please? You're the guest of honor.
Kidding. So regardless of the CSAR or just search and rescue demo, at the conclusion of such, a B-52 is going to come over, and we're going to rock this place with pyro. And, once you get the good guys out of there, you got to decimate the target, right? So I enjoy pyrotechnics. We got a B-52. It's going to be great. And then we have a C-17 demo. And then we have, now we're recovering all these airplanes as well. So there's a lot of military action in there. We saved some stuff for the night show on Saturday, but the last act during the day show on Saturday will be Sean Tucker and the Oracle Challenger 3.
Wow. So I think I did a running tally during one of our meetings when we were talking about this. There's something like a dozen different just types of military aircraft on Saturday. Not different total airplanes, just types alone. Is that somewhere around that number?
There probably is. We should actually run some statistics because it's pretty crazy. I think we added it up, and there's 11 tanker sorties being generated to support the show this year. It is the year of the tanker. So ordinarily, we wouldn't need that much support. But to think about, it's pretty awesome. But we're also doing a lot for the military. They're getting a lot of publicity through this as well, and an opportunity to showcase the Air Force Reserve Command 70th and bring awareness to citizen soldier and all that, and citizen airman. Yeah. Yes, sorry. But the Saturday night, we have the national anthem with the Patriot Parachute Team during their dynamic entry. We have Air Force Global Strike Command E-4B. That's the doomsday plane.
In civilian guys, a 747? So
yes, big 747 with the United States of America written proudly on the side of that airplane.
Just because it shows up doesn't mean it is doomsday.
No, this is just training for doomsday. Right. Yes.
And hopefully, if for some reason there's a last-minute conflict and it doesn't make it, he's hoping that it's not because it's doomsday.
Well, it's interesting. A friend of mine actually flies this airplane, and the schedules with them are, they pretty much follow Mattis everywhere, the Secretary of Defense. And, his schedule, feel for him. And while this is confirmed at the moment, it could change. Fortunately, with the week in there, we're going to see the E-4 over Oshkosh. Right now, this is when we're expecting it, but we might have to adjust the schedule to accommodate a trip.
And how often do you see one of these particular E-4s at a civilian air show?
Well, I brought it to another air show I was involved in last year in the fall.
So you cheated
and
on us.
I did. I cheated on EAA, and that was
a test.
And his wife Susan is just wonderful. She helps at that air show as well. She works with me, but she. So he got even a little mushy with her over the public address. It was pretty great. So, anyhow,
as one would expect from the pilot of the doomsday airplane, yes. The real softy at heart, isn't he?
I'm sorry, Mike. but anyway, they are, that we believe that was like the first time the E-4 has flown at an air show in decades. Other than their home show that sure. They do there at Offutt. So, it was pretty exciting. I don't know if that's fact or not, but that's he couldn't think of anything. A bunch of other people couldn't. So
you could have him on the PA, and the pilot could say, "Whoops, hit the wrong button," and then some pyro goes off, or something like that.
There's nothing funnier than than accidentally starting
accidental
a war.
Bully.
that's comedy gold right there.
All right, so after the E-4, we're going to it's making the one pass on the anthem, and then we've got the Heritage flight, and I haven't talked about Mike about this yet, but I'd like him to come back and do his next passes after the Heritage, because I want the difference between the Cree-Cree, which is after, and the 747. Right. So the biggest, one of the biggest twin, multi-engine aircraft, and the smallest,
yeah.
Then we get the Paradigm team, the Aeroshell, Jerry Kirby, Bob Carlton, Patriot Parachute Team. The Twin Tigers are debuting some incredible new it's awesome. I don't want to give it away. Just come see the Twin Tigers airplane single ship act this year. But what they're doing with the lights, it's a Yak 55.
Okay.
It will actually be doing unlimited acro during the night show with this light system built into the airplane that is really cool. Like, we've seen lights at air shows and they're cool, but this is pretty awesome. This is the next step in lights. And also, they've worked with our fireworks guy Dion to create, we're not using fireworks, but some other elements to make this show. It's going to be pretty awesome. So
Dennis would tell us more, but then he'd have to kill us.
Now he's just going to kill us. We don't even get the payoff.
So that'll be fun. We got Gene Susie. Nate Hammond's also done something new with his airplane. Folks are going to like to see. And both of those two weren't in the Wednesday show. So it's a little different on Saturday. We have the 100 drone show for the Great Lakes Drone Company, that we talked about for Wednesday night. Really going to be cool. Red Line, Fireworks, and the Tora Bomb Squad. And I don't have yet as cool a finale as we have on Wednesday, but there's still 10 days.
If anybody can pull it off, it's we know it's you.
But it's going to be a really fun Saturday. Sunday, we need people to stick around more on Sunday because the show is going to be phenomenal. And I know folks are itching to get back, but we've got the F-16 demo and the Heritage Flight. We've got Kyle Franklin, Mike Goulian, Kyle Fowler, and that Long Easy again. We've got the SAR demo, which hopefully we can add some A-10s to as we're still working that. Skip Stewart. I mean, this is a great lineup. Trojan Thunder, David Martin and the Beach Baron, Kevin Coleman, the E-4 coming back. We've got Redline, Matt Chapman, Vicky Benzing, the Harvards, C-17 demo, Scott Yoke. And we're departing a lot of the large aircraft from the plaza as well as a lot of the fighters. So you're going to see a lot of departures with passes to come back around on the Sunday show. So some of the aircraft that you may not get to see fly during the week, you're going to get the chance to see on Sunday. And I just encourage more folks to kind of stick around a little longer because it's going to be a great, great show. The team has done an amazing job, I thought, this year of living up to the expectations and what our members want to see. I think the diversity in the show is strong, and I just can't wait for it to get here.
It's going to be an amazing week.
Yeah.
It always is, but this is going to be an amazing week. And it feels really sort of sad to mention this now because, you know, we've got the Doomsday plane, we've got airplanes with pyrotechnics and lights and you know, everything out of the Air Force inventory and stuff. But we'd be remiss if we didn't point out, guys, that we are doing an episode of The Green Dot in front of a live audience. And that is on Saturday. That's the 27th. So Saturday of AirVenture at 9:30. And Ty, that's at the...
That's the 28th.
AirVenture Welcome Center.
The AirVenture Welcome Center.
It's the same place it was last year for anyone who was at last year's live podcast.
Excellent.
And we are very excited.
So we're hoping that everybody out there listening that has enjoyed the show and been kind enough to share your good feedback with us, come out and see one live and say hello.
Yeah, meet the host
and the producer.
Saturday the 28th.
Saturday the 28th. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I have no concept of time or numbers. So, but otherwise.
One big blur.
Yeah, this is all one big blur. So, Dennis, thanks a million for taking the time to take us through staggering, action-packed air show lineups this year. I think there's going to be more flying this year than maybe we've ever seen, as you said, with flying every evening and so much going into every show. It's only in Oshkosh. It's going to be an experience like it always is. So with that, thanks again to Dennis. Ty, thanks for stepping out from behind the soundboard and filling in on the mic. In Chris's stead, Chris Henry, you're not listening to this, but thanks for walking out on us in the middle of an episode, leaving us high and dry.
I think you said in Chris's stead, but it sounds like in Chris's dead. So let's clear that up. Chris is alive. Tom died, but he came back.
Yeah, Tom died,
Chris
came back.
Chris is fine.
Yes, I said in Chris's stead.
Yeah.
But Chris is fine. He just, he had AirVenture stuff.
AirVenture stuff, man.
Some kind of important conference call. That's going to happen around here this time of year. With that, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks, as always, for the feedback and the great reviews. Please keep those coming on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you can review us and leave feedback. That means the world to us. That's why we're able to keep doing this show. You can always email us feedback@eaa.org if you've got ideas or suggestions. You can always comment on our blog posts as well at inspired.eaa.org, where the podcasts first go up. With that and our ongoing thanks, we'll see you next time when you're cleared to land on the Green Dot.